Okay, everybody. Will? Maybe we'll have some more of the saints dragging in. Oh, when the saints go dragging in, we'll see. All right, yeah. So let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're God's representative to us, and how we love you, how we need you. We honor you. We glorify you, and we invite you to be with us right here on the corner of Westwood and Olive in this old barn, Father, a new barn. And we love you, and I pray that you'll help me with this word. Go much farther than I could ever go with it. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Bless the sweet people that's here tonight to talk to you and pray. Amen. Well, Kathy, I am going to stay in John chapter 17 until we get to the end. And then I might throw out a couple of more verses that I think would tie right in. But let's go to John 17. All right, look at John chapter 17, one of my favorite chapters. And this, the John chapter 17, if you're looking at it in the pages of your Bible, you need to get a pen out so you can highlight, but if you've got it on the phone, you can highlight that too. But this whole chapter should be called the Lord's Prayer because it really is the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is the one that Jesus prayed. Now, the first few verses, he's getting ready to go back to heaven and be with his Father. So it's funny that even though he's going to be with him in just a little while, he starts talking to him and praying for himself. And then when you get down to about verse 20 or so, then he starts praying for us. That is so amazing. And so, you know, we look at Matthew 6, where the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, say, my Father, our Father, not my, our Father, yours and mine. We share the same Father, Jesus was saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that was a model prayer. That's how he was telling the disciples, if you pray this way, it's a blessing. Because, I mean, it covers everything from your resources to your will be done on earth. Give us our daily bread, our daily benefits. And it just, forgive us our sins, it just covers so much. But he knew we would need that prayer. But when it gets to John 17, this is the Lord's Prayer right here. This is what he prayed. So, I really want to get to verse 20, but and I'm sure I've gone over this with you before because it's all marked up. But let's go back to the first verse of John 17, number 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Father, I want to glorify you, and you've glorified me, so let's glorify each other. Now, as you have given him, Jesus is talking about himself here. Lord, as you, Father, as you have forgiven, given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And look at this. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you, Lord. Now, look how he talks about himself here. He knows what he did. He knows. Jesus said, I've been here all of these 33 years, and I know what I've done. And I love this. Verse 4. I have glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So before I came to earth, I had this beautiful glory with you. And may that same glory rest upon me until I'm back with you. Now look at verse 6. I have manifested, and here he doesn't say your glory. He said, I manifested your name might underline some of these things that stick out to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now, okay? Because he's going to pull out something more than what I'm saying. So you just highlight what sticks out to you. I manifested, that means I opened up, I caused them to be able to see your name to the men whom you've given me, whom you have given me. That's an important phrase. You'll see that about six times through these verses. Manifest your name to those that you've given me out of the world, out of the world, out of the world. You saved. See, all of us are sitting here today, and where did we come from? We came from the world. Where did Jesus come from? He came from heaven to the world. But he said, you all came from the world. My Father gave you to me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them, in verse 6, they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Isn't that neat? He told God that you, Sylvia, kept his word. Vivian, that you kept his word. He's talking about us and his disciples. Verse 7, now they have known that all things that you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. That's a wonderful thing to know where Jesus came from. A lot of people don't know that, but you and I do. And millions of Christians around the world, we know where he came from. Verse 9. He says, I pray for them, and I don't pray for the world. You need to underline that one. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. There it is again. Those that you have given me, but they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in who? In them. I love it that you'll see where it says theirs and them and those. Oh, I love it. He talks about us like when I talk to Sarah about the kids, I don't always have to say Ainsley and Parker. I'll say they went with me or we are, and she knows I'm talking about them. And so when Jesus said, Father, them, you gave them to me, or they are ours, they were yours, and now they're mine. So he knew, he didn't have to name us. Where was I, you guys? Verse 9? Okay, now, all right, let's read verse 10 again. For all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified. I am glorified in who? In them. And now I am no longer in the world, but these, he said, Lord, you see all these? They're in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those, underline those. When you see him talking about us, underline them or those or they. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. So he really wants us to be in unity. And while I was with them, underlying them, while I was with them in the world, I used to be in the world, I kept them. I love that. Jesus, thank you. I kept them, your name, in your name. I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost, except the son of perdition or the Antichrist, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So he said, I want them to have joy, Father, so let their joy be fulfilled. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. I mean, they especially hate the church now, because they are not, underlined, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. They're just like me. 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them, see all these thems, keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Then he says something really big in verse 17. He says, sanctify them. That means separate them, put them apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. So we are sanctified by the word in no other way. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So Jesus said, Father, I'm sanctified, so I want them sanctified or holy or pure. All right, now here we go. Jesus starts talking about us. And you say, well, I thought he was there. Well, he's just reminding the Father of some of the things he's done and who we are. Not only who he was, but he said, I want them to know who they are themselves. Now he starts praying for us in verse 20. So this is something that we really need to make note of and keep it in our hearts. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, and these were the disciples that were around him and all those followers. I do not pray for these alone. Now remember, the Holy Ghost had not been poured out yet, just him and the disciples and some followers. I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So isn't it amazing that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, creator, lives in us by the Holy Spirit, prayed for us. Now let me remind you, when Jesus prayed, his prayers were answered, period. They were answered. You don't have to worry about that. His prayers were always answered. And knowing that Jesus prayed for us there, listen, you know, I can't give you what I get off the TV or another big message or preacher, because that may not be for Porterville. It may not be for this group of people. They're people's going through something else. But I can tell you this, whenever I've gone through a trial and I've gone through trauma and been through some of that and some hard times, this is something that's always kept me, to know that he is in me and that he has prayed for me and he has kept me. And I'm just telling you that it causes you to almost force a supernatural breakthrough of peace to be on you. Remember when Jesus talked about joy, not just any joy, he said, my joy. And he said to the disciples over in John 14, he said, my peace I leave with you. Not the peace that the world gives, but my peace. So Jesus was talking about, Father, I want their joy to be fulfilled in me. He started out by saying, I gave them your name. And now he says they're going to have joy fulfilled in my name. So it's really a big deal, really a big deal to have peace when things are not peaceful around you. I mean, it's total darkness. We're living in an age that nobody ever dreamed of seeing in our time. And yet there's darkness, and, you know, Brother Kenny's down there at ER right now going through his own stuff. You got stuff going on in your home, and nobody else knows. But Jesus does. And he knew our personalities, he knew our ways, he knew our weaknesses, he knew our faults, he knew our stuff, he knows our quirks, he knows how much love we have for him. And that's why I love it that he prayed for us. He said, Lord, I love these. You gave them to me, and look what it says. I pray not only for these that are with me, but for those who will believe because of them. Do you know that's why we're here tonight? We are here because of them. We're here, we believe. Because somebody told us about Jesus. The disciples started the whole thing with Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit touched them and they carried on. But we are here because we believe the testimony of somebody that gave us testimony. So you can have that force for supernatural peace or joy and strength even when there's nothing to be happy about. I mean, you hate the way things are sometimes. Sometimes we just don't like the way stuff is in our life. But still, knowing that he said, these believe, Lord, they know that I came from you. Help them. That's always given me the peace that I've had need of. Help those that believe. In 17:20, he says that. But look what he says, verse 21. I pray that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Well, I don't know if any of y'all remember this, but in 1999, there was a group of, oh my goodness, the Buddhist, the Islamic, even the Wiccans, the demonic churches, all of these crazy religions came together, these Indian gurus, and all of these came together in one mind and one accord. And you know why they came together? To create a one world religion. They were united. Man, they didn't care. Those demons, the Wiccans, they didn't believe at all. The atheists didn't believe at all, but man, we'll come to your gathering just so we can be of one mind and one accord, and we could just accomplish anything if we're one. And here Jesus was praying, Father, make them one, because he knew we were going to need that. And today, churches don't, we can't even get together. I mean, we are so prejudiced against each other. The most prejudiced people in the world are Christians sometimes. And we're prejudiced against the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Baptists and the Oneness and the Jesus name. And so there's those that believe in mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib. Some don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some don't believe, you know, we believe that you received the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and it's not a separate work, and you don't need to speak in tongues. Therefore, they won't speak to any of us who speak in tongues. They don't want you at their gathering. Okay, but what do we have in common? We have in common the blood of Jesus. Most of us, all of us, would believe that he died on the cross for our many sins. Yet we can't even come together for that. And Jesus said, the reason I want you all to be one is because I want them to see my Father who sent me. Look at that. Look at verse 21 again. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that we also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's why I want them to be one. So if you're with somebody and they start putting another church down, just back out of it. Just back out and say, you know what? They could be going to heaven with us. Maybe, then look at me, I'm already prejudiced right there. They could be going to heaven just because. See, it doesn't matter if they believe that they're going to heaven after the rapture or before. What difference does it make? Let them deal with that. And we'll stay over here. Doctrine. What's doctrine? Doctrine. We believe we got a great doctrine, but so do they. I'm not saying everybody's saved. Now, I'm not, Jehovah's Witness are not going to get in this group because they don't believe Jesus died for our sins. They don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus was a good prophet. They don't believe that he bodily raised from the dead. Okay, the Mormons, they got a whole different story. So they're not in this. But I'm just saying, he said, I want you who follow me, those who believe me, stay together. Stay together. Now, it should never change. Whatever we're going through, Paul said, you know, in all things I've learned to be content. And if the Christians, if we can only learn that, the world will see him in us. Doesn't matter what we're going through, they should see us the same. If we're dancing on Sunday morning when things are good, we ought to dance on Sunday morning when things are bad. If we're praising him, we're in church on Wednesday night when things are good, we should be there when things are bad. It just doesn't matter. In all things, we've learned to be content, Paul said. Now, one of the things that I noticed here when Jesus prayed, look at verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, you and me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them, and you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also know whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Excuse me, let me read that again, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory which you have given me, that you loved me before the foundation of the world. He said, Father, I want them to be with me. When I'm in heaven with you, I want them to be right there with me. One of the things that you won't see Jesus praying here, his prayer doesn't sound like our prayers. You realize that? Our prayers, when we pray, we may pray for the glory. We may pray for the goodness of the Lord, but we're praying for each other. We're praying for our children. We're praying for salvation for somebody. We're praying against depression. We're praying against this. We're praying against that. We're praying for resources to come in, for money. We pray for all kinds of things, sickness, disease, healing. Well, that's ours to pray. We can do that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But you see, Jesus' prayer goes much, much deeper. His is so deep. He said, I got all these things. Remember when he said, seek me first and my righteousness and all those things are added. What things? Healing, salvation, deliverance, everything you have need of. It's all right there. So it just really sounds like all of these things and the blessings. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't interested in them. It's just saying, look, I've got it all right here. This is what he's praying for. And I think it was Mr. Dake said that over 120 times Paul mentions in Christ. And if you look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, especially chapter one, you'll see we are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And one of the words that he gave to Paul, the main thing he wanted to get across is we are in him and him in us. So as long as we're saved, church, as long as we're saved, we're in that position. What position? We are in him. Him in us. Now, think about, we're talking about all those religions that came together to form that one world religion. And since 1999, and it still hasn't happened. Oh, it will in the last hour, but it still hasn't happened. But with all of that, you think of how right now Russia and China are becoming good buddies. Why? Because they got a common enemy, the United States. It's so funny the way Herod and Pilate, they were enemies. Herod and Pilate were enemies, but they had one thing in common. They wanted to destroy Jesus. So you see Russia, Iran and Syria coming together. Why? Against the U.S., against Russia at one time. So all of these things come together against different things, different values. But Jesus said, no, there's one here that's very, very important, Father. And I pray they will get this. And I want to record it in the word. It's all in red. I want it recorded so they will see me. In verse 22, he talks about the glory. Lord, the glory you've given me, let it be in them. Six times he says this in these few verses. Lord, the glory that you've given me, give it to them. The glory you've given me, give them. Over and over. That was so important. That we walk in his glory. And especially as Pentecostal Christians, you know what, folks? We have been guilty of talking about the glory of God a little less, I think much less than what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, Father, the glory that you gave me when I was with you, I want it to be upon them. When I leave them, I still want it to be on them. Because of the great revivals we've had, we say the glory was manifested. The glory was manifested. Well, what happened to it? What happened to it? So this glory goes much deeper than just a manifestation. Just seeing multitudes of people healed or delivered. Are we going to see that? Yes. But this goes deeper. Jesus said this glory is an entirely different realm. It's a total different realm. And Father, they are going to feel this because I'm going to give it to them. And so Jesus' prayer is answered here. And so the discouragement, the depression, the despair, that's all earthly stuff. The discouragement, the hopelessness, the lack of peace, lack of joy, the lack of love, all that's earthly. But when we get into this realm, the glory is heaven's realm. That's heaven's sphere. And there's nothing like that there. That's why Jesus said, pray as it is, and may your will be done on earth like it is in glory. Because glory is, heaven is full of glory. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So all of it comes straight from heaven, and Jesus knew what he was talking about today. Hallelujah. So I want to read you John 1:14. Kathy, can you grab that real quick? We'll come back and get this, but let me just read this in closing. John 1:14, because I want to sit in his presence. John 1:14, give me a nod when you have it. I love this. And the Word became flesh. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, John said. And we beheld his what? We beheld his glory. So that's not just talking about a manifestation, though he was manifested. But still, this glory just was on him. He carried this. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he said, man, we saw the glory as though he was his Father, the Creator, his only Son. And so he tells you what's in that glory. It says full. That glory was just full of grace and full of truth. Remember when Jesus said, Lord, sanctify them. Sanctify them with the word, like you've sanctified me. Sanctify them with the word of God. Philippians 4:19, what does it say? Philippians 4:19. Oh, Father, fill them with the riches, Lord. Just like it is in heaven. I just lose my thought. Let's put that up. What's Philippians 4:19 said? Oh, you'll know it. Come on. My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory. Now, was he talking about the riches? No, he was talking about the glory. He said, in the glory, there's everything. According to his riches, inside, in glory. So when Jesus is talking about glory here, he's like, I don't have to mention riches. I don't have to mention peace. I don't have to mention joy. I don't have to mention, because it's all in my glory. Everything we need is in the glory realm. Healing, deliverance, joy, praise, peace, power, anointing. It's all there. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, look, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of it. So, Lord, just like you walked with me, walk with them. And Colossians 1:13. Let's put that up before we leave here. Colossians 1:13. Again, one of my favorite, says, Lord, Father, we have been delivered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we have been delivered from what? From the power of darkness into the kingdom. Look, translate it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Well, the old King James says, he has translated us in the kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of his dear Son. So he said, I've translated you somewhere else, and that word power is translated sphere, a whole nother sphere. So I took you out of that world of darkness into this sphere of power, into my power, into my light, my Son's light. We're taken out of one room and put into another. It's just like coming out of darkness and being right into light. So in this hour, don't forget where you are. We are in light. Let the world go as dark. Let it be a blackout. Let it go as dark as it wants to go. Go back to John 17, Kathy. And let it go as dark as it wants to go, but you and I have been translated. Amen? We're still in the light. All right, we close with this. Let's read, where did I quit reading? Verse 25, look at this. John 17:25. Oh, Jesus cries out to him. When he says, oh, it just means he's after his attention, though he has it. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you. And these sweet people have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your love and will declare it, that the love which you loved me with may be in them and I in them. The love that you gave me, I put in them. Isn't that precious, church? I mean, he just says, I've given it all to them, Father. I can't, listen, I cannot give them any more. Everything you gave me, I gave it to them. I gave them your name, your glory. So the fact is, you guys, we walk in his glory. Well, I don't feel like I walk in his glory. I may not look like I'm. He says, you're in my glory. It's a big deal. It's really a big deal, you guys. And we can so quickly forget really who we are in him. And we're nobody outside of him. But he says, in me, you're everything. So hallelujah, bless the Lord. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. Well, Brother Rick, why don't you pull the lights down? And you guys can do what you want. But you know what my thought was tonight as I was preparing to come? Is that we just might soak in his glory. That we just might sit and soak. You can lay down on the floor and soak. You can be where you want to. You can get aside. There's plenty of chairs, plenty of freedom spread out. And just soak wherever he is. And let him cleanse you from all fears, intimidation, inferiority, that you're not as good. Who said you weren't? It's not what Jesus said. Jesus prayed for us. Man, we come out with some strength in us. I'm not talking about pride and foolishness and look at me. We're talking about humility in the glory of God. Father, we just give all of this word to you tonight that we have received. And Lord, we've come to just sit with you. Join us, Lord. And Jesus, every ounce, every prayer, every word, every line we receive. Would you just tell him you receive his words? And if you want to open your Bible and continue just reading those things over and over and get it into you. But the main thing is just soak in his presence. You can pray. You can ask him for stuff if you want. I'm not saying that. But just join us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, may the Lord, may you bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine on us, be gracious to us, turn your face toward us. And keep these that are going away, Chris and Sandra and Peggy and Joanna and Lynn. And Lord, all of those that will be away this weekend. We just bless them. Bring them home safely. Bless your people's pocketbook, Lord. Keep us in perfect health. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen? God bless you guys.